touch of your breath. I die now daily because I've learned to live in the grace that belongs to all who are born.
Jesus, my but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Has done. Amen. You can just look back over your life, and if you really begin to look close, some you don't have to look very close, you can see God in a lot of things. I love the domino effect, how one thing leads to another thing, leads to another thing, which leads to another thing. Amen. Everything that we do affects somebody else or something else. That's why we must be in the will of God and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Amen. This time we're going to dismiss all of our children, age 5 to 11, the children's church. All the children from age 5 to 11. You have your Bibles this morning. If you'll turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 24. Those watching by Facebook, I'm going to ask you to share this service today. We want to minister to those. There's a lot of people who watch this program. It's either throughout the week or live. They may watch it on another day. But we want to get this gospel out. That's what it's all about, getting the gospel out. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 36. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, till the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, if the goodman of the house, that's you and I, if the goodman of the house would have known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to come into this sanctuary. Lord, we're living in a free country that we can still worship you in open freedom. Lord, we ask you that you would continue to protect the laws of the United States of America. But whatever we have to do to get back to falling in love with you, if you have to take some things away from us, if you have to stir our nest, whatever you have to do, oh God, I know that you look at eternity and you have to place everything in our path in light of preparation for eternity. We ask you that you'd speak to us by the living word of God today. Bring help, strength, encouragement, and Holy Ghost conviction. I pray that you would anoint every ear that we can hear what the Spirit would say. We ask you these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to preach to you this morning, rapture, fact or fiction. I'm taken back at all of the people today in the religious realm, the churches, so-called evangelical, who once stood on the Word of God and basic theology. Listen, when it comes to the basic Word of God, if it says it, I'm going to stand on it, believe it, take it to the bank, so to speak. Listen, heaven and earth one day is going to pass away, but this B-I-B-L-E is going to last forever. God's Word does not change. Man changes. Denominations change. People you love may change, but God's Word does not change. I'm going to stand flat-footed on the truth of God's Word and believe it from cover to cover. I'm amazed and astounded at the debate today going on in the religious circles on the rapture of the church. Is it real? Is there going to be a rapture? Or is just a fantasy, a fiction that they have made up years ago? You listen, the very first thing I want to say to you, if you're struggling with this, turn off the internet and get back in the Word of God. Oh, come on, church. You can listen to any silver-tongued devil that has demonic words, either verbally or things that you read. There are people out there that if you meditate, if you feed off the wrong source, you're going to believe the wrong thing. I'm going to guard my mind, guard my ears. I'm going to guard what I read. I'm going to get in the Word of God. Listen, we don't compare the Bible to other books. Every book's compared to the Bible. If it doesn't match with the Word of God, it is a lie spawned and hatched in the incubators of hell. Listen, let God's word be truth and let every man be a liar. I'm here today to tell you there is going to be a rapture of the church of the living God. It's going to happen suddenly, and the ones that are ready are going to be taken out of this place, and the ones who are not are going to be left behind. But I've got some good news before I preach to you today. It's not too late if Jesus doesn't come before the end of this service. Today, if you're not right, you can get ready because Jesus is coming back for those who are in his readiness. We need to get off of listening to other people in the internet and get back in the Word of God. Remember, Jesus made it very clear, speaking of the last days, that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Be careful what you read. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful how you analyze and how you try to compare and how you rationalize with this carnal mind. Let me just say this to you. You've heard it. You might have even said this before. You say, well, I just don't see it that way. I just don't believe it. I don't understand that. It doesn't matter what we think, what we understand, or what makes sense to us. This Bible don't have to make sense to you. Listen, God said it. I'm going to believe it. Listen, the carnal mind, Paul says, is enmity against God. The carnal mind does not think like God. Listen, you just go ahead and mark it down. We are other than God. We've got to line up with his way of thinking. We've got to line up with the Word of God. We got to cast out all of our human ideas, what we think is right. Listen, there is a way, Proverbs says, which seems right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Go ahead and go the way you think's right. You can say, well, I know that I'm okay, and I believe it this way. This is what I think's going to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll say it again. It doesn't matter what you think or what this preacher thinks. All that matters is what God thinks, and I want to get my thinking and my mind right directly in the center of God's word and his will. I want to do what he says and think like he thinks. If it's possible, even the very elect would be deceived in the last day. I don't want to be deceived, ladies and gentlemen. I do not want to be deceived. It's one thing for us to deceive other people. That's a sin. That's wrong. Your heart's not right. But whenever you deceive yourself, whenever you have lied to yourself or believed a lie, listen, you are in trouble. We've got to get back to the Word of God. We must cling to the Word. The Bible is our only hope. I must lay this foundation today. The Bible is our only hope. Proverbs 23:23 says this, "Buy truth and sell it not." Listen, what he's saying is get a hold of it. Cling to it. Let the Word of God lodge deep within your heart and your spirit. Follow it. Do it. Believe it. Come on, church. I'm telling you, there's a devil out there. He's an angel of light, and he has many ministers that are angels of light, but they are wolves in sheep's clothing. This word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. We must cling to the Word of God. Buy truth and sell it not. What is the rapture of the church? What does it mean when we say the rapture? Listen, the rapture can be defined as a sudden, secret catching away of the bride of Christ. Listen, there's a lot of movies out there that depict the rapture of the church, but it doesn't line up with the Bible. I'm going to share that with you today. Yes, there is going to come a time, and no man knows that time. There have been a lot of people try to predict the event called the rapture of the church. They always look foolish because God is not going to share his glory with man. And if you try to figure it out, you're not going to figure it out. That day and that hour, Jesus said, the Son does not know, nor does the angels, only the Father which is in heaven. What is the rapture? It is going to be a catching away of the bride of Christ. It's going to happen secretly. It's going to happen suddenly. And it's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, when we think not. Oh, if the goodman of the house would have known what hour the thief was going to break in, he'd have been ready. He'd have been watching. He'd have had his shotgun. Come on, church. He'd have been ready, and he would not have allowed his house to be broken up. It's the same principle. If you and I could know that day and that hour, we would be ready. We'd be watching. We would be waiting. Every decision that we make in this life, we would make in the light of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. Listen, he is coming back for those who are looking for his appearance. You know what I have found? When I'm looking for the appearance of the Son of Man, I act different, talk different, I do different. Amen? If you knew, if somehow you could know that Jesus was going to come back tomorrow at 5 o'clock. We cannot know that because the Bible says we cannot know. But if we could know somehow, some way that Jesus was coming back at 5 o'clock tomorrow, I'm going to tell you we'd change some things, wouldn't we? Oh, come on. What does it mean? Rapture is a word that's not found in the Bible. We get that word from 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, here it is, shall be caught up. We get those, we put those words together, caught up, and we get a Greek harpazo word, which literally means a jerking or a snatching away violently. Oh, come on. If that doesn't speak of immediacy, I don't know what does. One minute we're going to be here and the Son of God's going to get us out of this place. That's shouting grounds for you who are ready to meet him. It is called the blessed hope of the redeemed, the rapture of the church. Can you imagine? One minute the church world is here and the next minute they are gone. They disappear from off the face of the earth. And then the 7-year tribulation will begin. Listen, there are many different people, you know, there's a pre-tribbers. That's what we are. Pre-tribbers are, there's others that believe that they're going to be raptured midway point through tribulation. It's not a heaven or hell issue. And some believe that they're going to go all the way through tribulation and then get raptured out of here. Listen, if you want to believe that, that's your prerogative. But I can back in the Word of God many, many places why we believe that we have not been appointed unto wrath. Listen to me. The Bible is very clear. We have not been appointed unto wrath. I believe that the church is going to go through tribulation. Hear me. We are going through tribulation. We are just not going through the 7-year great tribulation. One place in particular that we know this to be true is the fact that in Revelation chapter 4, after the 7 churches to Minor Asia, at the end of chapter 4, the last church, he said, "Come up hither, speaking to the church, and I'll show you things that will be hereafter." After Revelation chapter 4, when the seals are opened in tribulation, you never see the church again. Why is that? Why do we not see the church again in Revelation? Because I believe we're around the marriage supper of the Lamb for 7 years, and we're getting ready to come back on a white horse with Jesus. Oh, come on, church. I'm telling you, I believe we're going to not see that day of great tribulation. So what am I saying to you today? It's time to look up, pack up. We're about to be caught up. We're getting out of this place, and you've got to look up constantly. You've got to prepare as if he's coming back today. Do you want to make it? Do you want to get out of here? You got to live like Jesus is coming back today. If you're not looking for his appearance, you aren't going, because the Bible said he's coming back for those that are looking for his appearance. And I'll say it again, when I'm looking for his appearance, I do different, act different, talk different. Everything's different. I don't enter into willful sin because I don't want to miss out in the greatest event that's ever going to take place. In our text, Matthew chapter 24, the Bible says, 2 would be in the field. 1 would be taken and the other left. What a very sorrowful picture that 2 would be in the field. And then he says 2 would be grinding at the mill. 1 would be taken, the other left. I can picture a husband and wife. 1 has grown cold and complacent in their spiritual walk with God, but 1 still has that fervor. Listen, any of us are susceptible to growing cold and indifferent towards God, or allowing willful sin to enter into that heart. I admonish you today. I encourage you. I make a strong appeal to you today. Don't let the world in. Don't get cold. Don't get complacent. Start living and looking up like he's coming back tomorrow. That's the ones that are going to make it. 2 would be in the field. 1 would be taken, the other left. 2 would be at the mill grinding. 1 would be taken, the other left. Let me put this in modern terms. 2 would be walking down the aisle at Dollar General. 1 would be taken, the other left. Can you imagine the fear that would strike an individual's heart knowing what has just taken place? 2 would be in the mall shopping. The man sitting on the massage chair in the middle of the mall. Come on, can I get a witness, men? You put another $5 bill in there. I know it's a waste of money, but I want to tell you something. It's good for the soul in the mall. And the wife is shopping, and one's taken and the other is left. 2 would be in the restaurant today after we get out of church, and you're dining fine cuisine of Tyler. 1 would be taken, the other left. 2 would be sitting in the church house singing the songs of Zion. 1 would be taken, the other left. 2 would be driving their car down the road, 1 in the passenger seat, 1 in the driver's seat. 1 would be taken, the other would be left. This is just some modern examples of what's going to take place. Jesus said it's going to take place. Listen, it's either fact or fiction to you. We can say that we believe it, but if we're not living like it's going to take place, it's really a fictional story to us, and we've brushed it aside. We've heard it all of our life. We know all about it. Well, you can know all about it, but if you're not living in the light of return of the Lord Jesus Christ, you you will get left behind, and it would be better that you had never been born, ladies and gentlemen, because you've heard the gospel. I want to stop right here and say this to you, that the left behind movies are not accurate. They're wrong. You can get all excited. Well, I won't take the mark of the beast in tribulation. I'll lose my head for the cause of Christ, and I'll be a martyr in tribulation. I don't believe that. You read very carefully and study out 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Paul the Apostle makes it very clear that there are those inside and outside the church who cannot make it if they miss the rapture during tribulation time. Who are those people? Anyone who's been given adequate opportunity to receive Christ. Let's say you've heard the gospel over and over again, but you rejected the gospel, or you lived in a lukewarm condition and you missed it. Well, the Bible says in that second chapter that God is going to send that particular group of people strong delusion that they will believe a lie and they all will be damned who, past tense, had pleasure in unrighteousness and believed, past tense, not the love of the truth that they might be saved. It's in our Spirit and Life Study Bible, the Fire Bible. You can read that. It's even in the Baptist commentaries, the older Baptist commentaries. I'm telling you, you cannot afford to be left behind. There is no plan B. Get your heart right with God. Act like He's coming back today. Love Him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. If the good men of the house would have known what hour the thief was going to break in, he'd have been waiting. But he fell asleep. He become complacent. Listen to me. It's going to take place. When I got saved in 1996, you know my story. I was raised in an old-fashioned Assembly of God church in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. I actually was going through Mississippi, going to a funeral in Alabama. And I stopped by that old church just a few weeks ago, and I took a picture of myself right outside that church. And I stood in the parking lot, and I still remember the memories just flooded my mind of them old-fashioned prayer meetings, of our pastor's passionate voice as it would rise and fall. I still remember the anointing that penetrated my heart. I rejected it, but I came back to God because of those roots in that old line of Assembly of God church. But I'm going to tell you, I remember hearing the rapture preached all the time. It's one of those four cardinal doctrines. I mean, about every month, they're going to preach on the rapture of the church. My Sunday school teacher said, y'all ain't going to get married. I was like, what? What do you mean I'm not going to get married? I was like 6 years old. He said, rapture's going to take place. It'd probably take place this year. I was like, really? He said, well, the Bible says no man knows the day or the hour, but hey, we're probably getting out of here this year, probably very soon. All the signs of the times are everywhere. And I'm like, man, I just want to get married first. 6 years old. Listen to me. I'm telling you, I got saved, came back to God in 1996. Listen, I rejected God all those years. I was 20 years of age. I still remember I made up a story about the rapture taking place. Can you imagine? I was on the phone with a young lady, and I began to tell her, I came home. The Lord began to show me a vision of me coming home, and my mom, that's a prayer warrior, was gone. And I began to go through that story, and the Lord showed me what it would be like, the horror that I would feel knowing that this great event, the greatest event that's ever been planned on God's timetable, his calendar, besides the death, burial, and resurrection, he planned this event, and I missed it. Conviction during this story. I was a sinner, 20 years of age. I'm telling this story, and I could see myself what I would feel like during the 7-year tribulation, knowing that I could have been ready. And if I could go back, I would have been ready. But I couldn't go back, and I'm about to face the Antichrist, this one world government, all of this system of demonic powers, and the restrainer, the church of the living God, is already in heaven. I'm going to tell you, I'll never forget the horror that I felt, the emptiness in my soul, knowing the could have, should have, would have, but I couldn't. It was too late. And all of a sudden, I heard the still small voice of God said, son, it's not too late. I'm calling you back home right now. I'm telling you, for the first time, conviction. conviction filled my soul again. I got down on my knees beside my bed and I asked Jesus to forgive me, and he saved me by the power of the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Woo! Rapture of the church. And every day I constantly looked up. There was an expectation of the coming of the Lord. Every day I thought he was coming back that day. Now listen, Paul said he thought he was coming back in his day. Listen to me. Paul didn't make a mistake. He did not come back, but that is the plan of God. It is the protection. Hear me. It is the protection that God gives us, his church, from lukewarmness. It is the protection he gives us from spiritual complacency. Come on, church. I'm telling you, God knows what he's doing. I do believe that Jesus is coming back in our generation. I'll prove that to you in just a moment. But listen, if you're not looking for his return, more than likely, you're not living right. Come on. I'm telling you, it's easy to let the world in. It's easy to let other things become before this Christ. So, well, anything that comes before this Jesus in my life or your life is an idol. And God is a jealous God who will not share your affection with idols. Come on. I'm telling you, it's time to get back to loving him all over again. It's time to start looking. We are the bride of Christ, and he is the groom. There's a marriage going to take place. Are you a part of the bride? Are you expecting? You know, whenever I was about to marry that girl, I was the groom. She's the bride. Man, I just couldn't hardly wait. I was counting down the days, the weeks, or the weeks, the months, the weeks, the days. We weren't engaged that long, you know. We'd only been dating a few days. Is that right, Mom? He's coming like a thief in the night. I'll get in trouble for that one. My Bible says he's coming back for those looking for his appearance. Listen, this is the downfall of so many people. We stop looking. Spiritual complacency. Listen what he says about spiritual complacency. Matthew 24:48. And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And if the evil servant shall say, my Lord delayeth his coming. They've been preaching this for years. I'll go ahead and do this. I'll get it right later. I'll repent later. Come on. I'm telling you, Jesus said that's an evil servant. Well, I'll become more consecrated, more dedicated at another time. I'll get my spiritual relationship right with Jesus at another time. No, you better do it right now. You're not promised tomorrow either by the way of the rapture or by the way of the grave. If the rapture doesn't take place in your lifetime, listen, 10 out of 10 people, I got news for you, they die. And you don't know, and I don't know, when the last time that I'm going to be able to take breath into my body. Jesus talked about that evil servant. My Lord delays his coming. He begins to do things he would have not done if he knew Jesus was coming. Eating and drinking with the drunken, smiting fellow servants. Oh, listen to me. Whatever it is that we may allow ourselves to do because the Lord delays his coming. Listen, is there anybody you haven't forgiven? Is there anybody that you're holding a grudge against? And listen, the Bible says if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. You better get it right. Listen, we must live like he's coming today. Have you become lukewarm? If you're not red hot on fire, you better get red hot and on fire. Is there a willful sin that has come into your heart? Because you see, the Lord has delayed his coming. I got plenty of time. I'm just going to live my life a little bit. I got plenty of time. No, no, no. You're under a delusion because you're not promised the Holy Ghost is going to deal with your heart at another time. The Spirit of the Lord, Genesis says, will not always strive with man. There's a time the Lord pulls back from you. Listen, here's another question. Have you become unfaithful to God in any area? Listen, we had better get it right. Have you withheld your tithe? Have you allowed things in your heart and your life? Listen, it's time to get it right now, because no man knows the day or the hour. Are we living in an attitude that the rapture is fact or fiction? It's not what we say, it's what we do. Brother Clendenin made a powerful statement, and he said this: one of Satan's most effective forms of deception in the last day, he gave two things. He said, number one, he will convince men that there is not a rapture of the church. The imminent return — imminent means it can happen at any moment — the imminent return of Christ has always been the cutting edge in Christianity. It's always — listen, Jesus warned us, watch, be ready, watch, be ready. Over and over again, Paul deals with it, Jesus deals with it. Listen, Clendenin said, there'll be a lie that comes across the airways that there is no rapture. Well, I can tell you, that's a lie out of hell. There is going to be a rapture of the church. And number two, he said, if Satan cannot convince you that the rapture is false or fiction, he will say to you, the rapture is real, but you got plenty of time. Just enjoy your life. You're young. Or maybe you're in a certain place in your life where you're going to do — you've already made up your mind. You're going to go this route, or you're going to do this. Listen to me. You are not promised tomorrow. You are playing Russian roulette with your eternal soul. It is not worth it. What we had better do is, listen, I can tell you from experience more than one time, if you will live like he's coming back today, there'll be a peace in your heart like you cannot describe, ladies and gentlemen. Just knowing that everything is right between you and the Savior. I'm going to show you a few signs proving we are the terminal generation. Now again, no man knows the exact day or hour that Jesus is coming. Jesus said that. But I'm going to show you some prophetic signs that prove that we are the terminal generation. Number one, Daniel 12 and 4 deals with an increase of knowledge. Listen to what he says in verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Are we living in that hour or what? Knowledge explosion. This passage in Daniel 12 and 4 literally translates knowledge explosion. Think about it. Our generation is the generation that has seen a knowledge explosion. Think about this. From the Garden of Eden until the 1900s, it was horse and buggies for 1900 years. But the last 122 years, I mean, think about it. You have the cars, and then you have the airplanes. You have the supersonic jet just in 100 years. I mean, 2,000 years from the time of Jesus Christ, 1,900 years, everything's the same. But then we have transportation that has literally changed completely and totally. I mean, from the horse and buggy to the automobile, airplane, train, supersonic jet, you can fly anywhere in just a few hours in the world. Listen, from Houston, Texas, we can be in a third world country in 3 hours because of supersonic jet. From the Garden of Eden, I'm still on the point of an increase of knowledge. From the Garden of Eden until the 1900s, men used torches for lights. Think about that. All those years, 1900 years. Then came the light bulb. And then look at all of the technology. I mean, they won't even sell you them old light bulbs. Or they might still be for sale, but I mean, they make you hunt everywhere to get them. You know what I mean? I mean, everything's changing. The technology's getting better and better. We have LED. I mean, just in the list goes on and on. From the Garden of Eden until the 1900s, communication was smoke signals and beating of drums. Man, it might do us good to go back to that. Come on, I'm just going to say that. Praise the Lord. Life 360. Then all the teenagers said, amen. From the Garden of Eden to the 1900s, communication was smoke signals and beating of drums. Then came the radio, the telegraph, the telephone, the fax machine, the cell phone. I've told you guys before, back in the 90s, in the early 90s, I was sacking groceries at Brookshire's on Rice Road. And there's this holly tree customer that came in there with a big old black bag hung across their shoulder like this. And they put it up on the table, you know, where you pay, where you write your check for your groceries, and they pulled out that phone, and I went, I mean, that phone was like that big. And I'm thinking, that's the dumbest thing I have ever seen in my life. They're just showing off. I remember Steve Mullins, he had a cell phone. I mean, he had a little cell phone, and he had to pay for his minutes. I'm thinking, man, why don't you get you a pager, and then you can just go to them pay phones. That's what I did when I got married. You know, my wife would page me all day long, and I just run to us a pay phone. Brother Mullins was way ahead of me. Think about how fast this thing is exploding constantly. Number two, another prophetic sign proving we're the terminal generation, the birth of nuclear warfare. There's a body of scripture that was an absolute mystery to our forefathers. It's found in Zechariah 14 and 12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people and have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, their eye sockets. And their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. What kind of picture is this? What is he describing? Our forefathers had no earthly idea. Let me tell you what this prophet is describing. He is describing nuclear warfare, the H-bomb. What happens whenever nuclear bombs go off? Your eye sockets melt in your head. Your tongue will melt in your mouth. It's consumed away. You disintegrate. You will feel no pain. It reminds me and my wife, we were on an airplane coming back from New York, and all of a sudden the lights were just, going on and off before we took off. She asked the stewardess, she said, what is that? And she said, we're having some electrical issues. And Tori said, I'm getting off this plane. I said, no, you're not. No, you're not. We're fine, honey. I want to get back to Texas. And she said, and when we first got, we finally got to ground, I revealed the truth to her. I said, listen, if we hit the ground, you're not going to feel a thing anyway. It's going to explode. Which did not help matters with my wife. But I'm going to tell you, nuclear warfare, it's going to happen. You're going to disintegrate. We didn't understand that before, but the technology, the ability is there today. We are the terminal generation. Listen, North Korea has nuclear warfare that they say can reach the continental U.S. with one push of a button. And guess who's standing in front of the button? Kim Jong-un. And he is a psychopath. Listen, it is the grace of Almighty God that we're still on this earth, because really God holds everything in his hand, ladies and gentlemen. Iran wants to destroy Israel. Iran says, we will wipe Israel off the face of the map. What do they want to do? They want to nuke them. Listen to me today. There is going to be nuclear warfare. I'm not saying that it's not going to take place before the rapture. We don't know what's going to, but we do know this, that the church of the living God, there will be a time that we are raptured out of this place, but we must be ready. Listen, Jesus Christ has planned an evacuation for the church of a living God. Don't be left behind. Don't resist this. Don't refuse God, because God wants to get us out of here. Number three, the rebirth of Israel. It's one of the super signs. May 15, 1948, Israel stuck her flag in the ground and she became a nation again. This is one of the greatest miracles of the 20th century. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 32, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when you see all of these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Listen, it's a super sign. When Israel stuck her flag in the ground, everybody stood back and noticed, oh my, this is one of the great signs of the end times. Number five, the invention of internet and TV. There's another prophecy, a picture that we're shown in Revelation chapter number 11 that no one really understood for many years. Revelation 11 and 9. And they of the people and the kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry. And they shall send gifts one to another, because the two prophets, the two candlesticks, the two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, here it is, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon all that saw them. It's very clear that the whole world's going to see the two candlesticks in Revelation chapter 11. During that 7-year tribulation, Enoch and Elijah, or whoever you think that the two candlesticks are, it doesn't matter, but the beast kills them. Those two prophets are dead in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days. But all of a sudden, that TV or those phones are going to be on those bodies. The Spirit of life enters into the two candlesticks, and they stand upon their feet. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter where death is, where the Holy Ghost life comes, it'll quicken your mortal body physically, spiritually, mentally. God's Spirit is life. This is how we're going to see it, because of the invention of the internet and TV. The whole world's going to see in tribulation the two prophets killed that tormented the people. How did they torment them? They preached the everlasting gospel. They preached the word of God. They preached that Jesus is the Messiah. They preached the blood of the cross. They tormented the world with their preaching. Listen, and not everybody's going to be lost in tribulation. Let me just clarify something. There is going to be a number that come out of tribulation that no man can number. The Bible does say that there's going to be Gentiles that no man can number, but they are Gentiles that have never received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's going to be 144,000 Jews that whenever Jesus comes back and after the tribulation, he plants his feet on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is going to split from top to the bottom. He's going to raise his hands in victory. They're going to see the nail prints in his hands, and they will instantly receive him as the Messiah. I'm telling you today, the invention of the internet and TV is a major biblical prophecy. Can someone come to the piano? Number 6, a major super sign. The preparation for the mark of the beast. It's probably one of the most evident. Now, there's a lot more signs I could preach on that I've just trimmed her down today. But the preparation for the mark of the beast. Listen to this, Revelation 13 and 16. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. No man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and the number is 666. So what's going to happen in tribulation, the beginning of the tribulation? Now, this is what I believe according to what we see in Scripture. There are some mysteries. This is what I believe according to what we see. The time frame, the mark of the beast will really open up at the beginning of tribulation. The church is gone. We have not been appointed under wrath. After Revelation chapter 4, not again do you hear of the church in tribulation in that book of Revelation. She's gone. She's up there with Christ. But there is going to be a new system of money. It's going to be a cashless society. Are you feeling it right now? Are you feeling it yet? It's going to be a one world currency. And for years, I believe the word of God. So I knew that something's got to take place to have a one world government, a one world currency. Everything's got to be shook up to change our whole monetary system and to change that control. And I'm going to tell you, I got back from Brother Joey's camp meeting in 2020, and I had the flu for the first time in my life, and COVID was going all throughout America and fear, and people were shutting everything down. It was one of the hardest times in my life in ministry, because I know this for a fact. There are people, I knew that we couldn't shut down the church. We had to be out in that parking lot. I called Judge Moran, Sister Moran's son. I said, "You're not going to arrest me." Or he goes, "No, we're not. You go ahead and have them outdoor services." Hope it's okay to say that right now. It's long past. But we were good. We did our outdoor services, because I know people, and I know humanity. If you stop coming to church, you stop coming, you stop getting in your car, getting ready, it won't be long, you won't come back to the house of God. And you'll think it's okay to watch on Facebook all the time. You'll think that you're okay. That is not God's plan. That is not the plan of God. I understand there are situations. I'm speaking to you on Facebook. There are situations that are a little bit different. I'm not saying that everybody's identical. And maybe there are situations short term. Maybe in some situations long term. But I want to tell you, for the most part, you'll backslide in that house. You need the body of Christ. We need one another. We need to feel what we're feeling in this place. We need to touch each other. We need to hug each other. Come on, church. I knew that. And I'm in that office. My wife quarantined me in that office. Flu, bad flu. And I'm thinking, we will not shut this church down. I'll get arrested. I'm good. If I have to get arrested, I'll get arrested. But we're going to make a statement. I don't want to get arrested, but I will. We're going to push. We're going to resist. We're not going to comply. I knew that if we didn't, we're in trouble. I knew that. And we have seen this church flourish and grow. And I believe that's one of the key things. Everybody shut down. And I'm not criticizing other people. Please don't think that. Every pastor, every church had to do what they felt like they had to do. But I know the Holy Ghost said to me, "You move forward." And we did. And God has helped us. And it's preserved many, many people. And it's brought new people in. We got a lot of people not here today, but I'm telling you, our church has grown tremendously. Souls are coming in. Listen, you cannot comply. I'm not saying rebellion. There's a balance between, listen, we need to submit to godly authority. Some people teach, you know, resist everything. That's rebellion. You better know when to resist and when to submit. I submit to this. What about the laws of the land? I will submit within reason as long as it doesn't resist this. I will submit to this first and foremost. I will resist the laws of the land. If it ever tells me to do anything this Bible tells me to do, I'm going to resist that. I'm going to stay with this. Saying that, I'm closing. Can we stand? I want to say this. I knew in that room that we were going to be put to a test. Hardest time in my ministry. Every pastor can probably say that. And I've seen, this is the first time, and Sister Charity Gale said this to our students. I think she said this to our students, or maybe she said this Friday night. This is the, COVID-19 is the first time that anything's been universal, that it affects everybody in the world. In China, they understand what we're going through. We understand them. In Malaysia, in Russia, we can relate one to another. It's universal. In that room, when I had the flu, and I knew I was trying to process everything that's going on, I went, this is it. COVID-19 is the preparatory type thing. It's the entrance to the mark of the beast. Fear is what drove COVID-19. Fear is what drove a lot of people. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I don't want to die either. But I am not going to live in fear. I said this before. I may die from COVID-19, but I am not going to fear COVID-19. Amen? Jesus said, "Fear not them who can kill the body and after that have no more they can do." That's all. That's it. "But fear him after he hath killed the body, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." So is COVID-19 the mark of the beast? No. Is the vaccine the mark of the beast, Brother Matt? No. Absolutely not. But what it is, it's a precursor. It's there are states, New York, different ones, unless you have the vaccine and show your vaccine card, you can't go in there and eat. Isn't that interesting? No man can buy or sell without the mark. It's not the mark of the beast. It's not a sin to get the vaccine. Please do not get me wrong. I don't believe that. I didn't get it, but it's not a sin to get the vaccine. You have to work that out with yourself here. But what I am saying is this, when they start forcing something on you, when they say, you can't do this unless you have that vaccine. You will. And then Biden wants to mandate it for all small businesses, large businesses. Praise God for the Supreme Court that just blocked it. Oh, let's give God praise for that. But I'm telling you, preparation for the mark of the beast, it is more exciting today than it's ever been. Brother Matt, are you terrified? No way. Listen, this is what I've been preaching about for years. This is what I've been living for years. Jesus is about to get me out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to look up. Our redemption is drawing nigh. Don't miss heaven for the world. I said, don't you dare miss heaven for this world. I close with this statement. If you could know that he's coming back tomorrow, and you would run very quickly to kick the guy out of the house because you've been shacking up with him? You wouldn't make the rapture of the church. It's a willful sin, you know it. There's other issues. We could talk about things that enter in, things that we would... Remember, he said, if the goodman of the house would have known what hour, he would not have suffered his house to be broken up. If the Christian would have known what hour Jesus was coming, they wouldn't have allowed this in. They wouldn't have done that. They wouldn't have become complacent. They wouldn't have seen these little sins that they say, oh man, I just can't stop doing this. I'm just so weak. I don't understand. I guarantee you, if you knew Jesus was coming back, you could resist anything. Listen, we do what we want to do. If you'll crucify this old flesh, build the spirit man up, become strong in the Lord and the power of his might, I can tell you, you can resist anything by the help of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to ask you, every head bowed, every eye closed. I just want you to lift your hands to heaven this morning. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. If there's one soul in this house, you're not ready to meet God. Maybe you're a backslider in this house. Maybe you've never been saved before. I want you to come out from that pew right now. Move. We're going to pray for you in the front. I want you to come out, line up in the front. There's one, two, three. If there's any in this house that's not ready or right, make your way down here. I'm going to give you just a minute before we come down here corporately and pray. Most of the time, if you don't come, it's because you're embarrassed. Well, Jesus said this, if you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. If you deny me, I'll deny you before the Father and the angels. Don't deny him. Just move out. Every one of us had to come to this altar. You won't be the only one. Everybody in this church that's saved had to come down to this altar. Is there one? Very quickly, as they begin to sing, I want you to make your way down this altar. I'm going to pray with you. This could be your day. Be transformed by the power of God. Saints of God, begin to pray. Jesus. Anyone else in this house, join this young man. Face this way, brother. We're going to pray with you. I want some men to come lay their hands on our brother. Anyone else in this house?
He said he's coming back.
Jesus is coming soon.
He said he's coming back. That's why.
Anyone else in this place?
I know he's coming back.
Oh yes, Jesus, we know you're coming back.
I know he's coming back. That's why.
Hallelujah.
I don't want to stay here.
Now for the rest of you in this house, every one of us, every one of us can easily come into that place. As a goodman of the house, we see the Lord's delay in his coming, and we let things in. We let things slip. we do things. This morning at this altar, we're going to make a commitment to God. We want a new fervency looking for the coming Lord. I want you to come and stand around this altar. Come, church. Lift your hands all over this altar. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's be ready.
I don't want to stay.
If you come and confess, he will in no wise cast you out. Oh, Jesus.
Fire burning bright, so I can leave this old world. I know Jesus could come tonight. I don't wanna be left behind in this old sinful place. That's why I'm watching and waiting. I'm seeking the Lord. I'm running and making. Forgetting about their soul. I can say for me and mine, oh, we're gonna see the King. I'm in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can take this world.
I don't wanna stay.